Now, moving then into the area of the Mexican Mennonites, which is the reason why we're talking today. First of all, let me just ask, when was your first contact with this group of people?
Okay, I may have come in contact with them while I was farming, but only very superficially, just hearing about them at that time.
12 years ago, that would have been 70, no.
No, 60, maybe 65.
Yeah, they're just really starting to come in there.
Yeah, I may have heard about them coming, but really didn't have much contact. But when I was teaching in Romney, you see, that's only about 3 miles from the Old Colony Church. So I was right in the heart of it. So we've had up to 40, 50 children at school out of a population of 250. We've had up to 50 children there.
So one-fifth often was Old Colony background.
That's right.
I see. And so your first real contact was once you were a teacher?
That's right.
First year you were teaching?
Probably, although then I wasn't really that much involved because I was as a classroom teacher, I was concerned mainly with my 30 pupils there or whatever I had. Mm-hmm. But after becoming principal, that's when I became very much involved with them.
As principal, you were involved more on the administrative end then?
Yeah, I was teaching, but also all of the administration.
Oh, both?
Yeah, part-time teacher and administration.
Okay, well, what kind of impressions can you give me now from the teacher's point of view or even the principal's point of view?
Okay, I feel that...
What things have you found out?
Yeah, as they came from Mexico, many of them were good mathematicians, adding and subtracting.
The basic stuff.
The basic stuff. You couldn't fault them on that at all. That they did well.
Did they do multiplication, division?
Not too much, and not too advanced. I guess maybe that's something else. As long as it was practical, for instance, I'm sure that they could count the number of baskets of tomatoes they picked, times the amount that they got per basket, and they'd come up with an answer very quickly. I mean, that type of very practical arithmetic, they did very well. But as far as the other sciences were concerned, history, geography, they knew very little. In fact, I remember some girls, I could name them if you wanted to, but a couple of girls came. Yeah, they came, I'm sure they were 12, they would be in school if they were 12 years old. Although that was not a problem, you couldn't keep them in school after you're 12 years old. But they were quite old, the 12 years old, and just come from Mexico, and they didn't speak any English. So I took them aside. In fact, I did that every year. I gave them extra lessons. But this one time, I remember this one incident very well. It was about the time of the moonshots. And, they just could not comprehend that the earth was round. To them, the earth was flat. So I took the basic globe and talked to them, showed them that the earth was round, where the moon was at, and that these people were actually flying up at the moon. Well, of course, that was almost sacrilegious. I was told then that, they must have gone home, and then the parents told them, don't believe that stuff. That just isn't true.
Mm-hmm. Did the girls say whether they'd been taught anything about the world?
Well, it was flat, but that's all. No, I don't think they were taught anything about...
I guess my question was whether they were taught anything or whether they were actually taught that it was flat.
I don't think they were taught anything.
I suspect they weren't, but...
Just that they thought it was flat. No, I don't think they were taught anything. Because their curriculum, the way I could understand it, was basically arithmetic and writing and reading in German, and using the Bible as their source of, as their book, I guess, and imagine the Bible too then. So they were very skeptic, but they were interested in it. I found some girls, some pupils were very good students. They really gobbled things up. And most of them were very capable students.
They did well if they put their minds to it.
They did very well if they only could. Of course, they could never take any notebooks home. They could never take any homework home. Never.
Really?
Yeah. Parents.
You wouldn't dare to do it, or
the parents would say you have to be in school. The school is, you learn in school. Once you come home, you don't do any homework. Mm. You don't bring any books home. That's when you work at home. So they could never, so they were really at a disadvantage if there was an assignment, a research project, or finishing up some work. Well, they would never get it done. And it wasn't their fault, they just weren't allowed to do it at home.
How did you handle that in class then? Just try to ignore it, or?
Well, it was difficult, but I would say probably that's what happened. We just have to ignore that, then, because knowing the background, the circumstances. And the other children soon, they knew about it too, so they didn't take advantage. Like, some would say, well, if Susie doesn't have to do it, why do I have to do it? But, as I say, I think the other children were quite, it's been quite some time ago, it's been 10 years ago, hey, since 10, 12 years since I really taught them, see, so.
More recently, you have not?
No. No, last 2 years, the school that I'm at now, we have maybe two, we have two families there. I think there were six children from Mexico. But they have been here for years already. They speak very well English. The parents speak well English. So there's no... still, though, they we can't get them to school there.
They want to quit at age 12 or 13.
At 12. That's how it is in Mexico.
For the girls.
Boys, too. Okay. Once they're 12 years old, they've told me many times, well, in Mexico, we're through school at 12. Why do I have to go to school here? We try to tell them, no, that if you are a landed immigrant here, you want to be in Canada, you must obey the Canadian laws. It's difficult.
Have you had to enforce some of that?
Yes, we've had
what
to.
What happens then? What?
Well,
what
they
do you try to go through?
We have to get the attendance counselor
for the department for the
Ministry of Education. Yes, for our school board. He'll then lay charges, and they'll have to appear in court.
Have you had some who've gone that far?
Yes, we've had some.
I would assume that you've always had a favorable ruling for the school.
Oh, yes. We've closed our eyes an awful lot. I've talked to my superintendent about it. And, you see, in September, during late tomato season time, we closed our eyes an awful lot there. I do believe in the work ethic myself, and therefore, if they come to school when it's raining, we sort of close our eyes so when they could pick, they could pick. I remember the first year, I was really going to enforce it. Well, I had three farmers down at the school. And they were threatening, well, they didn't threaten me, but they were very, very angry. It wasn't 2 weeks later, we had three area superintendents down, and the farmers were, they met at our school. And so we just sort of, you know, laid off a bit. It's their bread, and the farmers are paying the taxes. They had a crop of tomatoes out there to be picked. They were relying on these people to come in, the large families to pick them. You know, let's lay off of it. So I did.
Oh, that's interesting. So you had to go a little easier then. And the superintendent then didn't like it, but had to go with it.
He had to. Well, we've talked over several times, and it's going to take a generation or two generations for them to see the value of a formal education. It's not that they can't do the work, but it's that piece of paper which tells them they've gone through school that they have to have for a job.
Yeah.
And once they realize that, then they'll go back to school. It's interesting that some of my first students there back in 66, 67, I couldn't get them to school. And now they've been working as a nurse's aide, but she sees that she can make more money being a registered nurse. And now she's gone back to St. Clair College, picked up her high school in a couple of years, and I believe she's a registered nurse now. So, you know, it'll take a generation or so before they'll come back.
Are you perceiving a fair amount of acculturation going on among these people?
Yeah.
Describe that a bit. Is it very fast? And what kind of areas do you see it in?
In clothing and, in their attire and that type of acculturation. When they came from Mexico, you could pick them out on the schoolyard. And they all had they were all barefooted, they all had their aprons. Typical Mexican men-like attire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it doesn't take very long, and they would have slacks, and they would have shorts, and they would have that type of attire, so you couldn't pick them up very.
Mm-hmm.
They still seemed to braid their hair. The girls still had very neat, certain families, neatly braided.
Still do?
Yes, they still do.
What about the boys?
Those you couldn't tell, not by the attire. Okay, also in their playing, in Romney, where we had that many students, between 30 and 40, they seemed to play together. They did not mix. Generally speaking, they did not mix with the other children. They played by themselves.
Why was that? Because of language? Or was
I think it was language. I think so. It was convenient for them to play with the children of their own language.
Was there a certain amount of stigma attached to being Mexican?
Yes, I would say there had to be. As much as we try to de-emphasize that, as much as we try to, have to say the positive of the various cultures, of the various ethnic backgrounds, I would have to say there was a certain amount of stigma at that time. Now, going back to my last 2 years, where we only had two families in the school in Merlin, I don't think that was fair. The boys, there weren't that many. They couldn't play by themselves. They mingled with the other children.
Okay. So you see then, at least in terms of their attire and the way they play, that there's been a fair amount of acculturation going on.
Yes.
Any other areas that you can think of? Has there been, or let's put it the other way also, has there been areas where there's been strong resistance to acculturation?
Well, I would say education is still another, the formal education after 12 years old.
But there are increasingly more going into that, further education beyond before age 12 or
15. Well, see, if they start school here when they're 6 years old,
they have to go until 15. Right?
They have to go until they're 16.
16.
Okay. Usually,
they'd be in grade 10 by then.
Yeah, they should be in grade 10, but because they move around so much, they lose a year, or year and a half. Not because they haven't got the mental ability to do it, but they haven't got the opportunity to keep up with the children. And so they most of them are a year or two behind. So by the time they get to grade 7, grade 8, they are 15 years old. and then I don't know of any that have gone on into high school. Now that is not saying that
it didn't happen, but doesn't happen. It's the rare one.
It's a very rare one. That And yet, I really don't think that high school is the answer for a lot of those kids either.
Why not?
Well, I think they are so handy. Their education is not within the four walls of a school. Okay, I have several examples. They're Newfield boys. They're Newfield Construction, just down the road here. I couldn't keep those guys in school. They were 14, 15 years old, and, you know, we could send a law after them and everything. Well, now they're well-to-do construction workers. And I think they're certainly an asset to the community as far as making a contribution, as far as building. Mm-hmm. They learned that as soon as he could. In fact, this one boy was working for a contractor before he was 16 years old, whether the contractor knew it or not, but he was working for him, and he was doing a good day's work. Now he's with the... And, you know, most of them are real good mechanics. I don't know where they get it, because up there apparently they aren't allowed to drive cars, and yet...
Oh, but they have tractors with lugs on.
Yeah, but if they have two cars here, they can make it work. So, mm-hmm. You know, they are very capable people. At least that's how I perceive it. They're aptitude. It's just that it's difficult to keep them into the formal school system.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people that I work with, the teachers and the vice principals and the secretaries and so on, they get very, very upset when I try to say, okay, let's just take it easy with these kids. It'll take a couple generations, you know, to get them into our way of life. But I think it'll take a while. I just thought of something else. I've often lamented this. If they come from Mexico, I feel they are illiterate people. Very illiterate. And that's what hurts me.
What do you mean when you say illiterate?
Okay.
I mean, they can read, you say they can read some German, right?
They say they can read German. I've never really checked it out how much they comprehend of it. And to verify that, I talked with a teacher, with a chap, who taught them in Northern Alberta.
Hmm.
It's Newfield. He lives in Windsor now. He taught with the Mennonites up in Northern
Peace River area.
He said, yes, they could read it in German, but they couldn't comprehend a thing that they didn't give a reading. So, that verified what I suspected all along. They could read the High German, they could sound out the words, but I didn't think they could understand anything. But also, they're illiterate in the sense that they don't know what's going on in the world.
Hmm. Not worldly aware of
it. No, they're not worldly aware of it. You know, of the whole universe, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, I feel very badly about their state of ignorance. Maybe illiterate wasn't the right word, maybe just ignorance. Ignorance of the world affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Because when those two girls came over and they didn't know what the world was about, that's sort of.
Shocker.
Yeah, this is a shocker. Really was. I don't know how true this is, but I had been told that. Well, who is a teacher in Mexico? Who becomes a teacher? I've heard that if you can't farm, well, obviously you must be a teacher.
He's not good for anything else, is good to be a teacher.
Yeah. I've heard that expression, now whether that is... But as far as their curriculum is concerned, I don't know what their curriculum is other than the results of what we see when they come here.
You mentioned, or you made reference to parents objecting in certain areas before. Maybe a little bit on that. Have you had direct contact with a number of the parents to get a feeling for what they're thinking? For example, do you ever ask them, I guess maybe you wouldn't, but I'm curious about whether they make a tie over between the reason for leaving Manitoba in the 1920s, you know, was one of the biggies was education.
Education, yeah.
Do they ever talk about that and say that that's really...
No, I don't think they would know about that. Not the people that I've come in contact with. See, the people that I come in contact with, they were born probably in 1935, something like that. Their children are in school now. And, I haven't, for the last 2 years, I have not come in contact with many of the Mexican American people. So what I've been talking about now, 80% of that was prior to the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt very good in Romney Township. I felt I had gained their confidence. They would come to me with some of the papers. I recall one gentleman coming in and asking me to interpret, I believe it was some type of an immigration paper or something of that nature. But when they did that, I felt very, very good about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Has it been difficult relating to the parents in the sense that, as you mentioned earlier, some of the other teachers, secretaries, etc., tend to get rather uptight about the problem?
Mm-hmm.
Has there been a considerable amount of difficulty relating to the parents between those two groups?
Yes, there has been. Especially if the school has only one or two families. And I found that the teachers at Romney Central, because we had so many Mexican Mennonites there, they probably were a little bit more understanding.
They knew the background a little better?
Yeah. Than the teachers that were on that now, where they had very little.
Has there been any kind of program of orientation for the teachers to try to help them to understand?
No. We, in Kent County, see, that would have to be a Kent County orientation, okay.
You know, like talking about who these guys are and
they're
coming and why they're here.
Not so much by the teacher. I've talked to them probably incidentally. I've told them quite a bit about it. I've had the opportunity, though, to talk to our superintendents, although the one that I was re-involved with is gone. He's retired. But I have talked about them. I've talked to, I don't know if to the director of education about them or not, certainly to the attendance counselors. They know the background of it.
They know.
Yeah. I've talked to the OPP, the Ontario Provincial Police, about them.
Mm-hmm.
We've become very close friends with the safety officer, and he himself is of Amish background.
Oh.
So
there'd be some rapport there.
Yeah. So he was quite interested in them. But as far as in-service training is concerned regarding the teachers, no, there has never been any formal attempt made. We have the incidental came in, I suppose, when we have families that 6, 7, 8 children, they're very poorly dressed or so on, and then I tried to tell them where they came from, why they're back from Mexico, and this type of thing. That is an incidental.
Somewhere I remember hearing about meetings that were held between some kind of educational officials.
Okay.
And somebody else, a little colony or something. Yeah. I'd like to know about that, if you know anything.
Yes, I, the one that I'm aware of happened in Essex County, just north of Leamington, at Mount Carmel School. The Essex County the Essex County Board of Education, they're going out of their way to help these people because they have many more in Essex County than we have in Kent County. Now, I don't know if you're aware that I teach in Kent County.
Yes.